broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
I swear they're going through their whole families just checking.
I know, and people are really talking about parents supplying alcohol.
Please make sure that you hear an advisory.
One of the things that people always forget.
An ice cream vendor.
This will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, radio for patriots by patriots. And what does that mean? It means we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. If you don't believe me, just ask them. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Every single solitary night, we are here trying to get to the, well, trying to get not only to the very bottom of what it is that will make our country well, but once we find the bottom, take you to the top. And to do that, we ask you to join us as every evening we march headlong into the future and the truth. This hour we have Mr. Stephen Bozell joining us. Mr. Bozell is a parent at C.K. Corona Middle School in Corona, California. He's going to be talking with us about his experience at a pageant, a celebration performance at his daughter's school, and being told that he has to get off the stage. He was doing some comedy, and he was making with the Japan jokes at a time when that country is suffering terribly. And you know what's funny, if I may use the word funny, what's funny about all of that is that we've got Gilbert Gottfried, who's had to apologize, and I think there was one other, the WNBA star, that had to apologize, and there's at least two or three other people in the news over the last several days that have had to stop and think, oh, wait a second, maybe I shouldn't have done that, I'm not sure. We'll talk with Mr. Bozell here in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And our website is philhendryshow.com. If you want to get a hold of the rapidly disappearing best of CDs, our archive best of CDs, these are the CDs that contain the best of the Phil Hendry Show from 1997 to 2005, the first generation, actually the second generation of our show, then you got to get over to our website, philhendryshow.com, and go over to the shop, click on shop, find the CDs there, and pick up yours while they last. Because the minute we announced that these were going on sale, people recognized first these are all still obviously in the wrapping. These are brand spanking new, such as they are. And people are going to want them. They're collector's items. That is the original artwork, the original CDs, all in their, wrapping. And also we autograph our Best of 2000 CDs. So head over to the Best of the Phil Hendry CDs there under shop on our website, philhendryshow.com. All right, so we had Gilbert Gottfried and a few others, and we'll get to them here in a moment. But first, we're going to bring up Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. Mr. Bozell is a construction contractor. He's a man who is a father not only of a daughter, young daughter, who goes to the middle school there. He's also the father of a young son and is joining us on our program here. And Mr. Bozell, as I understand it, you were scheduled to give some kind of a performance for a parents' club or a parents' organization at your kid's school, right?
Yes, sir. School is C.K. Corona in Corona, California, and my daughter is a middle schooler there, and she was going to her class. Had sponsored a parent night. It was last Friday night, and I've done periodically on many occasions. I've been involved in the parents' club at the school, and they were going to have a musical performance, and some of the parents were going to get up and do different things, and this was for the entertainment of parents and students. And what I've often done, I've not only done it for my kids' school, I've done it for parties, and it's a sideline of mine is I do some comedy.
Now, what kind of comedy? Jokes?
Yes, sir, I do kind of a stand-up comedy, and I get into a costume. It's a kind of a bartender costume, as if I'm a bartender. And so I went up on stage on Friday night to give this performance.
Can you tell us what happened? Before you do, my understanding is that there was your act, if you will, or the jokes that you told were some of them referenced the situation in Japan.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the really at the point of what and at the heart of the dispute, because I had written jokes for the show on Friday night, but then the tsunami come, and I went and I reworked the material, and I went on stage. I went up on stage, and that's when Porter Anderson, who's a stage manager, came over and said, waved me off. They cut my time off at 5 minutes.
Did he say the man waved you off, and then what did he say?
Well, he just didn't say anything.
No, but when you got off stage.
When I got off stage, he said that the jokes were, he said something like, you might as well joke about the atomic bomb, and I asked him what he meant, and his wife Jenny was here, and she said that she was taken aback, the jokes weren't funny, and I told them if I'd been told, I'd like the opportunity to do my act so that people would hear. And
were you getting laughs?
I was not getting, was I getting laughs? I was not getting laughs because these people were getting ready to take me off the stage, so the audience was intimidated and didn't want to laugh even though the material that I was doing was very good. And I agree that there might have been some, that there might have been something wrong with the Japanese country, and I know that they had been going through it, but I also felt that was timing, that was topical for me to do.
All right, Stephen Bozell with us. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. All right, you told some jokes on stage on Friday night at your daughter's school, and by the way, there were kids and parents.
Yeah, there were kids and parents, but the jokes were appropriate for all ages, and were not, not in any way, shape, or form were they. Could you say was you going to say that they were bad? They were the jokes that I think were clean. And
all right, so they were clean jokes, but they were jokes that had to do more. They were jokes that had to do more with the Japanese tragedy than anything else.
I didn't have the chance to do the jokes, and so I was told I had to get off the stage, and that's when I left. But I felt that there was a public humiliation that could have been avoided if they had allowed me to continue with my act.
Can you give me an example of, would you mind giving me an example of the jokes that you told?
I'd be very happy to, because I think that, I've wanted to tell these jokes because I'm not... I didn't think they were in bad. Now, I understand now that a lot of people probably felt that they would be in bad taste, and I can understand that. And that's why when I talked to my attorney, we're limiting the scope of the legal action, against the school. Because
my understanding was you wanted to sue them originally for what?
Well, we were going to sue them for originally for a much, much larger sum of money, because I felt the public humiliation was... But as I talked about it, and everyone talked about it, I realized that I would limit the scope of it.
Give me Stephen Bozell. Give me an example of the jokes you told.
I can't just tell you if I could do how I do. If I was to come out on stage.
All right, you going out on stage. How does it?
I mean, you would say the MC would say, if you could be the MC, Mr. Henry, then. And,
all right, here is, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Bozell.
Okay, and then I come out. Hey, how are you? How many Japanese does it take to turn on a light bulb? Oh, none, because you can't turn one on underwater. And only that people would laugh at that,
Did they laugh? Was that the joke you opened with?
Yes, sir.
Did they laugh at that?
No, they did not. But again, the reason why they didn't laugh at that joke is because Porter Henderson and his wife Jenny were standing at the apron of the stage, and you could tell they were getting ready. They began to move slowly out from backstage, and people saw that, and I think they were nervous. And
because I'm going to be honest with you, I think that that's a joke that is in terrible taste and hurtful.
Well, I understand that, but I also understand that being a comedian, you have to go for the material that's very topical. And so that's why I have decided to go ahead with the lawsuit. I could not go ahead with a lawsuit. They humiliated me. They breached their contract with me, an alienation of the affections of my family, because my family looked at me, and they were all there. And once I was taken off the stage, I looked out. I made sure to at least look out to see if my family was still there. And I could see them shaking their, you know, my daughter looking at me and shaking her head. And I know now she's going to go and probably talk to her teacher and members of her members of her class.
This is the daughter, and this is the class that I know you have run afoul of in the past?
I haven't run afoul. I've gone in front of that class three times and done everything they asked me to do. Okay, so what happened, Mr. Henry, was I was publicly humiliated, and the cost of my costume and the internet connection for the jokes, all of that amounts to money.
We're talking with Stephen Bozell, who, you know, Mr. Bozell, there are a lot of people in the entertainment business, there are a lot of people in a lot of walks of life that had the consummate bad taste and lack of timing, etc., to start making these jokes about Japan.
Well, I do not consider myself as having bad taste. My timing wasn't good.
All right, let's call it bad timing. So you're not alone, but the overwhelming consensus, I think, among a lot of us, whenever something like this happens, is that we don't want to hear jokes like these until the hurt and the raw wound of the event goes away.
Yes, sir, I understand that. And that's why I've agreed to limit the scope of my legal action, because they did humiliate me, and they did breach their contract.
What kind of a contract did you have?
I had the understanding I would go up and I'd do 20 minutes. I was going to do 20 minutes of my stand-up comedy routine. And they took me off at 5 and said there was a problem with material.
Now, this is a school performance, so this is not really a professional performance?
No, sir, it's a performance. I mean, I don't know what you mean by a professional performance. I mean, there's people there, and I'm doing jokes, and they told me to leave because of, you know, basically, you know, telling everybody it's rotten. And I don't know how you rebound from being told you're rotten and, you know, get out of here. But I immediately called my attorney and said, I understand if they don't want me doing any Japanese jokes. I thought that they were funny, but if they don't want me doing Japanese jokes, I won't do them. But where is my money? And where is I feel that I need to have money.
Were they going to pay you for this?
No, sir.
Well, what do you mean by money?
I mean, the damages.
Are you talking about the lawsuit?
Yes, sir.
How much are you suing for?
We're going to open up at $200,000, and we'll see what kind of wiggle room we've got. But I think there is a good opportunity here that the school is in violation of at least a breach of a verbal agreement and the humiliation. When I looked out and I saw my wife and my children shaking their heads and basically looking at me like I was a boy, I mean, I've never been looked at like that by anybody. You know, my daughter, my son, everyone looking at me like I was nothing more than just a puddle I don't want to say like diarrhea or something, but that's the affection that was alienated away from me.
All right, there are other jokes here. I'm looking at one, and maybe you can tell them better. I don't know. What is this thing, the Japanese girlfriend?
Yes, sir. I open up with the...
Did any of these jokes get a laugh?
They did. They would have. I believe that they did. I don't know, but because they pulled me off stage, I didn't get warmed up enough to know if they were going to be laughed at. The Japanese, which joke?
I want to find out, when you tell these jokes, did anybody laugh at them?
I feel people were going to laugh at them until they saw Porter Henderson. Now, Porter Henderson's about 6'5". He came drifting out from backstage as soon as he heard the first joke, and he had a look on his face like, I think people were scared, too scared to laugh.
All right, give me the other joke.
I just dumped my Japanese girlfriend, but there's a lot more of them in the sea. Like, there's a lot more fish in the sea. That joke I wrote. And when you write material, it's like giving birth to a baby, you know, your own personal baby, even though, you know, I'm a guy, I'm not going to give birth to a baby, but I know what...
So you can't tell me if anybody was going to joke because you feel the crowd was intimidated by this man, Mr....
Mr. Henderson, yes, sir.
Is it within the realm of possibility, Mr. Bozell? Because I can tell you, I don't think that joke's funny. I don't know if you respect my opinion. Maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Well, see, you're doing now what happened to me on Friday night. You're heaping on the humiliation. And... Man.
Well, if you're going to come on a radio show, especially a national radio show, and you're going to sort of tell your story, there's a very good possibility some people are going to not think very highly of you. Now, I don't think you're a bad man. I don't think you've got very good sense. I don't think these jokes are funny.
And again, I will repeat what I just said. You have extended the humiliation now from C.K. Corona all the way over here to this radio show when I came on in good faith to tell you about the jokes that I told and to tell you why it is I was suing. I don't, Mr. Henry, I know that the jokes were, it was bad timing and everything, but you can't tell me that's not grade-A material.
And grade-A material? I mean, you know, I don't know of any time when these jokes... And I think you were able to tell how many jokes?
I told three jokes, and I could see people wanting to laugh. And
but you said that your family shook their heads as you were let off.
Yes, my family was getting ready to laugh, and then they saw this guy Henderson and his wife Jenny basically come up to me and say, yeah, you know, wrap it up and everything like this. And I'm like, are you kidding? And they gave a hand wave like, get off. And I don't think the humiliation that I've felt has been felt by anybody in a long time, Mr. Henry. Not a long, long time. Public humiliation in front of your own daughter and son and your wife. And what was my crime? My crime was to be topical on the comedy.
And your third joke was something about Santa Claus?
Yes, sir. Santa went all... See, the way to know how I did my act, I come out... And I said, I started out and said, hi, I'm Steve Bozell. How many Japanese does it take to turn on a light? Nobody has to answer because I'll tell you, it does, I'm my Japanese girlfriend, but that's okay. There's a lot more in the sea. Santa, and here's the third one.
Okay.
Santa went all around the world to give people their presents at Christmas, but he never went to Japan, so he just gave them a big wave. And then that's when Wagner said, you know, he issued what I thought was a threat. He said, you're done in this business.
Oh, man, we are way over our time limit here. We got to get breaking here. Steve Bozell with us, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show in our news hour coming up with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard next hour.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show, Stephen Bozell with us. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. Mr. Bozell, we have a country here filled with frivolous lawsuits, all kinds of people suing all kinds of people for all kinds of things. You want to sue your daughter's school for what exactly? Because they pulled your comedy act off the stage, which had jokes about Japan, and you're suing them for what?
As I said, Mr. Henry, I'm suing them for public humiliation, alienation of affections, because my family was in the audience when they came out and told me to get my blankety blank. You know,
did they swear at you?
They said to get my, if I can say ass, yeah. They said, get my ass off the stage.
And this was as a result of these jokes about Japan. Now, you're suing for public humiliation. You're suing for breach of contract. Now, there was no money involved, right?
There's money now.
But, sir, you were not promised any money. Is that correct?
Well, there's money now. Okay? And no, I was not promised any money. I was promised 15 minutes on stage. But it's sure going to cost them money now.
This is exactly what we're talking about when we talk about tort reform. We're talking about...
Mr. Henry... Before you get into your tort reform, you know, like a lot of you conservatives do, keep in mind what my rights that have been violated because I had a deal with the school to do my comedy act.
And you were bombing. You were stiff in that act, and they told you to get off the stage. And now you're going to turn around and you're going to sue them.
I was not stiff in the act. They didn't let me have a chance to get my act rolling. And I said already, I understand that what I did, the act that I did, the jokes was probably bad, but I said that's why I'm going to limit the scope of my...
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with our next segment here with Stephen Bozell on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, Mr. Bozell, here is the story here. Gilbert Gottfried, this is a comic who was fired from the Aflac account because he made jokes about Japan.
I understand.
You understand. He was fired. He didn't sue. I don't think he's going to sue. As a matter of fact, he came out and apologized. You know, after he had initially...
Well, but initially, Mr. Henry, Mr. Gottfried said, you know, F them if they can't take a joke. I don't agree with that kind of language, but, you know, he said F them if they can't take a joke.
Yeah, he said F them if they can't take a joke, and then today he apologized. He realized he'd lost his gig. He'd lost his job.
Well, okay, he lost his job. But he was a spokesperson for the Aflac duck. I'm just standing on stage talking to a school... trying to get young people to stay in school and trying to get young people to, under, you know, to get people to understand my comedy and what I'm, you know, what I want to do.
And you want to get people to understand your comedy. What I'm telling you is this, all right? This country had...
I know all about tort reform and frivolous lawsuit. This is not a frivolous lawsuit. This is a lawsuit of a performer who I worked long and hard on the comedy jokes that I did, and they obviously, I didn't even have a chance... To do the comedy jokes. I know that they probably were in bad taste. That's the difference between me and Gilbert Gottfried. I recognize that they was probably in bad taste, and that's why we've limited the scope of the lawsuit. And
well, you say you've limited the scope of the lawsuit. I mean, if you hadn't limited the scope of the lawsuit, I don't know what you'd be suing for. You know,
I told you that denying my rights is for free speech.
I don't know that you would have a free speech issue, sir. You might want to take it into that arena, but I don't know that you have it. What that school could probably have sued you for, if they wanted to, was that the material you brought to a middle school was inappropriate.
No, they didn't. If they wanted to vet my material, they could have looked at it, but they didn't.
And they've had you do these shows before?
They had me do one show before, and they had put me in a place called, if you want me to tell you about it.
Well, just give me the thumbnail sketch. Had you done shows for your kid's school before?
I did one show that I was supposed to do, but they put me in what's called the Barnyard, and that's a little kiddie theater, and I protested to be in the kiddie theater, and so I didn't do that show. But this was going to be the first show that I'd done at the school.
So this was the first show, and you got bumped off the stage in 5 minutes. All right.
No, but not because it was bad, but because of the fact...
No, I understand. Because of the fact that they didn't like your Japanese jokes, which you've already said you thought were inappropriate, too. 877-876-PHIL. You don't get this thing about frivolous lawsuits, do you?
I heard all about frivolous lawsuits and the tort reform and everything that they talk about to try to keep President Obama's health care reform. And this is a lawsuit that I'm entitled to. If no other reason that they humiliated me in front of my wife and my kids. My kids looked at me like I was some splash, like someone, you know, someone missed the bull and just splashed it. And that's what I am. And I can tell you that I find out.
All right, your Japanese jokes and your comparison, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Robbie in Marco Island, Florida. Go ahead, Robbie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, may I call you Phil?
Yes, sir.
What's Thank that? You. I'm asking that. Sorry,
yes,
to call you by your first name. Yeah,
I'm
an Irish entertainer down here in Marco. I'm from Donegal in Ireland, which is neither here nor there. But I put on the radio and I was listening to the comments of the, I would say, gentleman, Mr. Bozell, and I am utterly astounded at his nerve. I'm trying to choose words very, very carefully.
Well, I don't understand. Are you a comedian?
No, I'm not a comedian. I'm an Irish singer.
Okay, well, this is comedy. And
yeah,
I think the man is a...
Well,
I think it's
misnamed. I don't think it was comedy at all. To be so totally thoughtless and lacking in any sense of humanity to make such absurd comments about people in a nation that is so distraught with the terrible disasters I've had. They're not classified as jokes.
I told the people at the school that I said, okay, I understand, I can see your point. I said, but I still have to sue because of the humiliation that they did to me.
You have to sue? Yeah. This is Mr. Brazell I'm speaking to here?
Yes, sir.
Here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think when you said your children had an abnormal look on their face or whatever it was, I think maybe they were a little bit ashamed of their father making comments like he did. How you come to think that they were jokes is beyond my comprehension, sir. I pity you.
Sir, I'm sure you see that they do have a valid punchline. Maybe you don't think it's funny, but if I said Santa Claus didn't bring no presents, he just gave him a wave. Yeah, don't you see?
Most certainly not.
It's not funny.
Humorous. Not funny under
it's not
the circumstances
funny.
At all.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
so you may have sculpted a punchline. You might have sculpted a punchline that fits logically or within the parameters of what comedy or what a joke or what a pun is. But if the result is not laughter...
Well, wait a minute. See, that's what you guys are getting wrong. People were going to laugh until they saw Porter Henderson show up.
You think so?
Idiot.
You think that gentleman's presence made the difference in their expression? I doubt it
As soon as I uttered the punchline, and just before, seconds before I uttered the punchline, I turned and there he stepped out onto the apron of the stage, almost like somebody was going to jump me. And I was afraid.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
I don't believe it.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Henderson, 6'5".
Okay, so he's 6'5". People are going to be afraid to laugh at something that's funny?
Yes.
Mr. Brazell.
I spend five nights a week to
audiences that vary in size. I make humorous comments between the audience and myself in between songs, and some of the husbands and boyfriends are at least 6'5", and they laugh. They don't threaten me or threaten anybody. I think you're totally out of your mind.
Wait a minute. Are you saying to me, and now here's all I want to know about, and then you can just go ahead and do it. Are you saying to me that you didn't do any Japanese jokes or none of that?
Of course I didn't do
Japanese jokes. The man's a singer. Joke. He's a singer.
Well, I know he said, but he says he does jokes.
Did you do any Japanese jokes, Robbie?
No, not jokes in the sense that you mean. I'm talking about frivolous comments made between an audience and an entertainer, a singer in my case.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what?
Which are humorous.
Singer, yeah.
So in that sense, yes, it's comedy because it's a funny situation.
By the way, what is that breathing? Is that you, sir?
That's me, yeah. This gentleman's a singer. Now I get it, okay? He's not going to do no jokes, just like I'm not going to sing.
Doesn't make any difference, you know. It doesn't make it if he's a singer. He's not going to sit there. He ain't going to do any funny song about about Santa Claus giving him a wave.
Yeah,
he's an Irish singer. So he's going to do. But you do Danny Boy and all. Don't you do Danny Boy and everything like this? That's the song.
Of course, they do Danny Boy, and it's a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song. There's a lot more songs that are done by Irish singers.
Well, I'm not familiar.
I could recite them from now until the end of the show, sir.
Right, yes, sir, and I'm sure you're a very great singer, sir, and I'm giving you that, but you turn around and you tell me I stink. Wow.
No, I didn't. Those, sir, are your words, not my words. I'm sure you're a good singer,
and you say that I stink.
No, he didn't say that. I said it. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying it, Mr. Bozell. Your jokes, if that's an example of your comedy, yeah, you stink. Robbie, thanks so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Ethan in Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Ethan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you.
Yes,
this
sir.
Guy and people like him are the reason for tort reform. His jokes were so bad, and he's a typical liberal. Regardless of whether or not we want to hear what he's going to say, he's going to try and force it down our throats. His lawsuit is a joke. I hope it's thrown out as soon as a judge sees it.
Well, in America, thank God, we have the right to protect, everything. I have a right to be. What? I didn't get paid. What if I was getting paid?
What if you were getting paid? What?
What if? What if that was my job?
If your job, you would have been fired. You gonna sue?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, if they fired, if they hired you to tell jokes like that, but those people, that's a kid's school, and that's a place where there were parents, and they hired you. They didn't even hire you. You volunteered, right?
I volunteered, yeah, and all the more reason for them to let me do it. See, when you volunteer for a stupid show at some kid's school, and you go, okay, I'm going to bring my material to it, and then they can you like you suck, are you kidding?
They canned you like they told you to get off the stage because you do suck. All right, Ethan, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Charles in Pensacola. Go ahead, Charles.
Yes, Mr. Buzel. The only injustice that was done there was the fact that they didn't investigate what kind of material you were going to bring before those kids. That was inappropriate material.
Well, there were parents there, too, so it was a mix and match. You know, I figured... the Santa Claus joke especially would probably resonate well with the kids.
And why would you think that would resonate well with the kids? Are you understanding what we're talking about here, that the wave that Santa Claus, you know, that the wave that Santa Claus gave them was a deadly wave?
Well, I you know.
Santa Claus gives out good things. Santa Claus don't give out evil things.
Well, yeah, but see, the joke is he gave them a wave because he didn't give no presents to the Japanese on account of the Buddhism, see? So... He didn't give no presents, so he just waved. Well, you can't say he waved.
You don't consider that inappropriate material to be presenting before children?
I don't think the kids even know what you're talking about.
Kids should go around saying those kind of things to other kids about Japanese people?
Well, I mean...
If anybody should be sued, it should be you.
Well, what are they going to sue me for? All I did was get up and do...
Material before children, that's what.
It wasn't dirty. I didn't say nothing about sex. It was all about the tsunami and how,
insult to a nationality. I mean, you don't perceive that as inappropriate behavior in public?
Well, I mean,
even consider yourself a comedian? I don't understand.
Are you kidding? I mean, those jokes are grade A material. I could tell those
grade
jokes.
A.
Yeah. Think about it. Okay,
never.
Here's a joke. Tell me.
Never would that be considered grade A material. Never.
Oh, I'm afraid you don't. I guess you don't understand how the comedy, you know, how it all works and everything. Here's the joke. Or what's the first one I did? How many Japanese does it take to screw in a light bulb? Oh, come on. Are you telling me that's not funny?
They just had a tsunami.
Are you telling me?
They got people that are under that water that aren't breathing. They have people, not just light bulbs that don't turn on anymore, Mr. Bozell. There are human beings that are no longer going to have lives under that water.
Yeah. See, what you do is you bring the death and the horror. And all
Where's
I'm talking about is a light
joke.
Where's
the comedy?
I'm just talking about a light bulb. Okay, where's the comedy? You can't turn a light on underwater. Okay, here's another one. My Japanese girlfriend dumped me, but there's plenty more in the sea. You guys are not laughing on purpose. And the reason why you're not laughing on purpose...
No, what do you mean we're not laughing on purpose? It's not funny, man. I'm thinking about when you say that there's plenty more in the sea, all I can think about are the 10,000-plus people that have died.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Talk about
the Japanese people that suffered in that tsunami. They're in the sea, and you're trying to get comedy at their expense.
Wait. Mr. Bozell, what did you just call us?
You heard me.
No, what did you just call us?
I said you two guys are a couple of humorless turds.
Humorless turds, huh? So not only are we not laughing at your lousy jokes about the poor Japanese people, we got to be called names.
Mr. Henry, I've got a legal right to know.
I think you need to go home and study Red Skelton. Now, that man was funny.
Red Skelton? Oh, my God. He's about 106 years old. He ain't been funny since 1951. Oh, boy, there's so much wrong with what you just did.
There's all nothing wrong with what I just said. That is the truth.
That's
the bottom line. That man knows comedy. You don't. You don't know comedy at all.
You know, sir, that's why I'm totally against senior citizens getting into their kid's stash.
All right. Anyway, Charles, thank you very much for your call. Good call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Stephen Bozell and the very, very unfortunate comedy act that he did the other night at his kid's school. Now he wants to sue. And if ever there was an example of frivolous lawsuits and a need for tort reform and a need to begin to cap and control some of this garbage, this guy is suing because he brought a bunch of Japanese jokes to his kid's school. They told him to get off the stage, and he's suing. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous. Phil Henry Show, radio for patriots by patriots.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots. We're talking with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, about a stand-up comedy act he did for his daughter's school on Friday night, the night of... The horror that was visited on the Japanese people by the earthquake, the 8.9, now they upgraded it to a 9.0, and the tsunami. You did a series of jokes, sir, that were received poorly by the audience, and now you want to sue. And I've talked to you about the frivolous lawsuit, which you're having none of. We had a caller say this is a great example of you liberals who want to say anything you want to be able to say. You want to shove it down our throat, and when we reject it, you're going to sue us.
Mr. Henry, you didn't reject it, and the audience didn't reject Porter Henderson. And
oh, Porter Henderson. The guy probably was coming out there to tell you to stop, and you want to say that he's the reason why people weren't laughing.
The guy's 6'5", and he looked like, I can well imagine people saying if they laughed, he'd be on them like white on rice. And my daughters and my son and my wife, who say that they said my son said to me that I stink. No, he didn't. My son said that he didn't understand the one joke that I did which joke is that one? I think I was just talking to you about it, Mr. Henry. And, I wrote this joke, and my son didn't understand it. This joke is a perfect one and shows, and I wrote this joke, okay, while I was doing the act. I just got a telegram from Teddy Roosevelt, and he said, "Payback's a bitch." And that my son...
No wonder he didn't understand it.
Why?
Teddy Roosevelt or Franklin Roosevelt?
Teddy Roosevelt. Roosevelt. It's Roosevelt?
It's Franklin Roosevelt, who was the president during World War II.
Well... I'll double-check that, but the point I'm...
You don't have to double-check anything. That's the truth, and that's why your son didn't get it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's get over to a phone call. We have Joan in Bowling Green, Missouri. Go ahead, Joan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell.
Well, I periodically have insomnia, and so I listen to talk radio times. Tonight, I just happened to listen to your show, and I would like to tell you... this has been completely wasted airtime, this gentleman. I cannot understand why he's continued to be allowed to be on the air. This gentleman
has made the folk
in Japan who are going through a terrible, terrible time. It's awful what he's saying about them, and I please. Begging you, Phil, to get this gentleman off the air. It's wasted airtime that you're allowing him to be on there. I am so sorry for this gentleman. He is not completely understanding what he has done. And
Mr. Bozell, hold on for a minute. Mr. Bozell, would you stop breathing into the phone like that?
You're breathing into the phone like that.
I don't think she can hear me, but you're breathing into the phone.
Thank you for listening.
I'm not breathing into no phone.
Oh, you know, I've been answering these calls on the wrong side of the dial. Did you want to comment on what that lady said?
Yeah, I didn't even hear what she was saying. I was having a hard time breathing.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to Mark in Boston. Mark, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. How you doing? First of all,
good.
Does this man actually have a lawyer? And what court is even going to look at this case? Because if anybody that's reputable, anybody that's a reputable lawyer would laugh you out of their office. Okay? And there you go again. You just told that last caller it's a free country. That's another excuse that people like you use to say and do what you please. And what makes us look so bad is because of the things that you say and do. People like you are a joke to society. And you don't...
Phil Hendry.